Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thank you for joining me on another Momentous Show Radio audience. I haven't been on in a while, and you know me. I'm very particular about guests and getting people on, and I always told you in the past that great people are coming on board and supporting us. And like today's guest, it's just another great testament of great people coming on board and where we're headed and how we're going to change the world one day. But I do want to say, I just want to give thanks to Chief Eli Reyes. He's the Chief of Police of Cedar Hill. And just like today's guest, I met Chief through my nonprofit, and they were just so open to receiving the gift items that we had had our march event, which got canceled because of the COVID epidemic for the Dallas Police and the Department of Public Safety. So Chief Eli Reyes opened up their police department to us, and we came and didn't get to stay long because of the pandemic, but he's been a big supporter. And one of the things, radio audience, and you know, you all listen around the world, you know that I'm a big dreamer. Find people that believe in you. And the story about Chief was when I walked through the door that day, March 24th, I'll never forget. And he didn't even say hello. He says, "Where's my mundo wear?" So that tells you, radio audience, this clothing line is going to be phenomenal. We're going to do great things and help people around the world with this brand and clothing. And like today's guest, I met her, Mary Curtis Steen, at the Shark Tank auditions in DeSoto, Texas in January. And I didn't make it on the show. Just another thing that I did and been trying and trying. I didn't make it. I made a connecting instantaneously friendship and mentorship with Mary Curtis Steen, and I remember asking her that day in January to do my show, and look what happened. 6 months later, she's on the show. So dreams do come true to those who choose to believe them. So with that, radio audience, like I said, I want to thank my Facebook friends and all the supporters around the world, and I want to bring in our new friends, the family, the Mundo World family, the Honorable Mayor Curtis Steen McCowan of the DeSoto, Texas. Mayor, thank you for joining us on the Mundo World Show.
Thank you so much. I am really honored to be on your show today. And just on behalf of myself, my colleagues on the City Council, and the All-America City of DeSoto, let's just keep it moving and in a positive way and continue to build relationships. So thank you again for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's an honor to have you, and I'm just so privileged, and I thank you so much. You've been a great supporter. Take my calls, call back. I mean, you name it. And for someone like me that looking to you and following in your footsteps and watching your light shine around the world, it's just an honor to have you. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
Well, with that, Mayor, because I want to jump into these questions. Like I said, today's topic is a topic that we, like I said, we've been having conversations for decades. People have marched. People have, you know, protested. People have died. And yet we still continue to, you know, fight for, you know, just equality. But with that said, I always ask my friends in leadership positions like yourself, what made you interested in running for mayor of DeSoto, Texas?
Well, first and foremost, I have always, from a young child, I've had a heart to serve. And so that desire to serve has just grown over the years. As I've also grown professionally and, of course, first and foremost, spiritually. But the heart to serve my community, you know, I believe running for mayor, you really need to have a background in leadership. And what has helped me in terms of my service on the council, men as mayor, is also having a background in governance. It's so important to understand what governance really means and to recognize that when you're in a governor's role, it's not, you're not a manager per se. You know, it is a role where you're responsible for creating policy. And so I've spent so many years, beginning with my election to the school board 30 years ago here in this town, when I became the first African-American to be elected to any public office here in DeSoto. So as [S2] Wow. [S1] A school board trustee for the 2 terms I served, which was 6 years, and having served in a leadership role on the board, including serving 2 times as president, you know, governance, both through training, locally, regionally, nationally, you know, it just strengthened my desire to run for mayor and to extend my leadership abilities to my community. I wanted to improve, you know, the quality of life, economic development, our public schools, and everything that helped DeSoto to become the city, you know, and build upon and becoming that city, you know, that we could have it. You know, I look at DeSoto and I say, we want to be that shining city on a hill that others, well, you know, will want to emulate, where everyone thrives, businesses as well as our citizens. So, you know, that's really the reason I ran, and that continues to be where my heart is. That is my focus, and I am truly honored to serve.
Yes, well, you know, that's just a tremendous answer, and I hope, radio audience, if you have any daughters, I hope you let them listen to Mayor Curtis-Stein. Like I said, that answer of empowering, and especially girls, to run for leadership. You know, men have been running things, and it's like, if you give a young lady an opportunity, she can become president, she could become a mayor, she could become anything. What a tremendous answer, Mayor. And you and Chief Renee Hall, I mean, just two of the smartest women. I love smart women.
Thank you.
My next question, yes, ma'am. I mean, by your answer, I'm just like astounded. You are so smart. Being a woman, and a black woman at that, what obstacles have you encountered as a woman? And how did you remove, go around, or get through those barriers?
Well, you know, I as an African-American, you know, as you said, as a black woman, I was raised by a strong black woman. And mm-hmm. and I mean, she was just simply amazing. My mom and I'm the youngest of 9 and 5, you know, with 5 sisters, 3 brothers, and now there are 3 of us remaining of that 9. But anyway, I have been exposed to strong black women. My teachers were amazing. I went to an all, you know, a segregated school, all black school. I watched them and saw how they conducted themselves. I've watched strong black women in the clergy and in all walks of life. But even as a young girl, as I mentioned, in my mother's influence, and I want to say this, you know, my father passed away when I was barely 8 years old, had just turned 8. So much of what you see in me and the person I am is my, you know, it was my mom and just her strength. And one of the things she taught me was that, and she taught all of us, you are going, you know, as a black person, and she probably then, back then said as a Negro, you are going to have to work harder. You're going to have to work 2, 3 times, maybe 4 or 5 times harder, sometimes 10 times, in order to get to where you want to go in this life. And I watched her work, you know, as a person of low socioeconomic means. She worked hard. And sometimes I even questioned, you know, why do you do all these things? Because much of that was volunteering. And so anyway, I watched it. I knew coming up I had to work harder. Having gone through segregated schools, you know, we were taught to have so much pride. So therefore, that helped me when I moved into, you know, my professional career. Because let me just say, in school, I even thought, you know, I'm going to have to work harder to get the grade. You know, I was always competitive. And so I did that. And so in my professional career, although there appeared to be some differences at times made in the in my performance, I always thought, you know, I'm going to perform at the most outstanding or level of excellence that I could. Excellence was always in the forefront because that's what I was taught, and I'd learned to do that. And I knew at times I was having to work harder. I knew at times I was producing more. But that set the stage for me. If the years, and I'm going to use my Federal Trade Commission career as an example, because I was there almost 33 years. And I started as a receptionist and worked my way through to becoming a consumer protection assistant, consumer protection specialist, then later an investigator, and then later promoted to the highest level of my career ladder, where I served as a senior investigator for 18 years. It wasn't easy. And I knew I had to, every day, walk in that office, putting my best feet forward to achieve the level of excellence and to compete with others who did not look like me. I knew that. And I guess based on the way I was trained, Mr. Lee, it really wasn't hard for me. I knew it. I knew the expectations at times and what was, you know, the demands. I will use the word demands that were placed on me. May not have been placed on my colleagues, but guess what? When I knew it was time for promotions, until I reached that highest level of my career ladder, if I were not automatically brought in during evaluations and told, you know, I was going to get that promotion, I was bold enough to go in and bring it up myself and ask for it with the documentation that not only am I asking for it, I expect it because I deserve it. Did I have to fight for it at times to get that top level? I did, but I was ready. And I'm going to just leave it there. I was ready. I had to fight for it, and I won. And got back pay for the times that I did not get it. So I'm going to stop there, but it has benefited me as an elected official. I walk into a room, and I look around the room many times around the table. I am one of few and sometimes the only one. But I walk in proudly because I think I represent not only myself, my family, but my people. And so I don't want to let myself down, and I'm not, you know, I'm going to do my very best to ensure that I'm not letting anybody else down. And right now that includes the city of DeSoto. So I go in with an expectation that I am going to be treated fairly, and I'm going to have a voice. And so that is just where we are at this stage in my life, and I give all glory to God for watching over me as I have come to this stage.
Well, I tell you, man, if you ever listen to my interview with Chief Renee Hall, I was just like enamored. I'm enamored with your answers. I almost can't get to the next question because
I love it.
Someone is calling in. I don't know if they want to say hello to you. Would you like for someone to check in? I hadn't planned on no one calling in. Someone's calling in. Okay, let me see who this is. Okay, just one second. Hello? Hello. for sure. Somebody.
They may just be calling to listen.
So, yeah, well, someone called into the studio. It's a private number, so I don't know. I thought that might be Chief Eli Reyes, but I'm not sure. But anyway, they can listen. And if not, if they stay on, I'll check back with them. They didn't say anything. Now with protests around the world, have you, as mayor of a diverse city, spoken to your community about race and unity in your great city?
You know, I have. Right after the George Floyd murder, and I just, you know, something goes all over me just to even mention it. And it wasn't the only one, but we all know, just watching it, watching him die right in front of our eyes, it has caused this entire nation and across the world up. And what we did, our police chief, Joe Costa, our city manager, Brandon Wright, and myself met, and we planned a special town hall meeting because we felt like, you know, we've got to bring our community together, and we want to listen. We need to listen more. And during that town hall, of course, that's when I addressed the community at that time. I also had addressed the community in a Facebook, on my Facebook page. I just had to say something. And so the same thing at the rally. There was a rally that one of our local churches organized. There had been a couple. And this first one that was organized by Pastor Oscar Epps and Community Missionary Baptist Church, I spoke at that rally. The next one, I had a conflict with some graduation activities, but we had very good representation there from our council. But the message is, my message has been that this community, you know, we are a unique community here in DeSoto. We're not perfect. And one thing we're not going to stand for is discrimination by anybody. You know, we are an equal opportunity employer, and our police force, I think we have a great police chief here. And
Yes, that's my friend, Chief Costa, Joseph Costa. Mayor, there's a caller. They just hung up. Let's see. Hello? I'm not for sure there. It sounds like Mayor. It looked like Mayor, her call fell off. And not for sure who that was, but someone was trying to call into the show. Maybe it was a constituent of Mayor Curtis Steen, but she'll be calling back in. Her call fell off, and so we will get her back on. I'm sure she'll call back in a few minutes, and we'll see. So we just have a little, glitch here, radio audience, but that's live. That's just how it is when you're live. So let's see. Hello? No one that's not speaking. I'm not for sure who that is. But anyway, radio audience, we had a little glitch here, and Mayor should be calling back in. I'm not for sure what happened, but her call fell off. And so we can I'll wait. She'll call back in. But in the meantime, I'm just in awe of everything and honored to have her. Like I said, glitches going to happen, issues come up, but what we just roll with it. We roll with it. And we are fighters, we are warriors, and we just keep on keeping on. So, Mayor, I'm sure she'll call back into the show. Like I said, I'm not for sure what happened. And I wait for her to call back. If she doesn't, then there's a few things I do want to say about what's going on in the course of the pandemic, but hopefully she'll call back in to the show. And because I know she told me at 2:30 she had another meeting. She was in a meeting just before she called us. And then, of course, right afterwards, she had to go to another. So for her to take the time, to do my little humble show, it's just an honor. But then to have the glitch that happened, and we can always have her back. If we don't get her back today, maybe we'll schedule her for next week or the week after or next month. So she'll come back because she's a busy lady. She's a busy lady. And you can see how she articulated the answers the questions I asked her and her answers. That's a very smart lady, very smart, articulate lady. And so, again, she hasn't called back in yet. I'm not for sure what happened. Call did fall off. But I do want to say until she, called back in on today's subject about race relations, and this is what I've been trying to do for years, is to unite and connect. I think that's her calling back in. So let me bring her back in. Mayor? Just 1 second.
Yes, I am. Something
happened. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got it. Someone want to talk to you, but every time I click in to talk to them, they won't say nothing. So I don't know if it's one of your constituents who was calling in with a question. And this was your show, but if the people, because you are of the people, so if somebody wanted to ask you a question or whatever, call in about an issue of DeSoto, fine, but they won't say anything. So we just going to keep rolling, Mayor. We're just going to keep rolling.
Okay,
I
don't know. What about my response? I have no idea at what point it actually cut off.
I'm not sure, ma'am. I remember when you was talking about having the rally in DeSoto.
Oh.
And unifying the city, about that talk.
Okay.
And so, you got cut off in the midst of that. But then, but I did want to ask you because, of course, with the protest, and then, of course, you all hosting that rally in your city, and there was a lot of young people that came out. And I wanted to ask you and get your opinion. What do you think about the young and diverse protesters around the country?
I am thrilled to see it. Overall,
yeah.
And generally, what has touched my heart the most is to see the diversity of the young people out there. It's not just black young people out there protesting. You see all races and cultures there. Now, while I am impressed and believe they have the right to protest, I'm all about some discipline in doing it. I am not in favor of some of the things we've seen, the looting and, the break-ins and looting and anything having anything to do with breaking the law. I am not for that. But they have the right to protest, and I want them to be given that right and not to be brutalized in doing so. So, yes, as long as it is done with some discipline and without violating the laws of this land, I am in full support of them having that right to protest, or anyone having the right to protest for that matter.
Because I mean, they picked up the gauntlet, and, the ones that were peacefully protesting, made us proud. But then, of course, when the detractors come in and then they start to tear up buildings and set fires, and it loses all the momentum and the cause. Everything get lost in in that chaos, and we can't allow that. You got to stay focused. So, yes, I'm right with you, Mayor, about the young people, and I hope they keep it up, but keep it peaceful, show respect, show class, and get out there and let people know that you are somebody and you to be respected. Now, like we were talking about, of course, my friend earlier, my friend Chief Joseph Costa of your police department, what talks, if any, or information you can share on how DeSoto Police is handling the heightened, intense nerves in the community at large, if any?
One of the things they're doing is that they're, you know, we've made a commitment, as he has, and along with his staff, they made a commitment, like I said, to listen to our community more and get input. He and the city manager and I just met last Friday afternoon, along with our city attorney, because I know there are some expectations of things that our city council, you know, myself and the city council want to see. There are some changes that we want to see made. Our citizens at the town hall we've had, and also some of the input we've been getting through our different social media platforms, through phone calls. You know, we want, one of the things we talked about, and the citizens are in full support of this, is having a citizens, a police review board, or excuse me, a review committee, advisory committee, a citizens review advisory committee. And so that is something I know at our meeting on February 7th, that will be a discussion during the work session about some of the changes that we would like to see. The chief will also highlight those policies that are already in place. Some of the calls for are already in place, but sometimes, you know, our community is not aware of them. But
right.
more training on, you know, as far as de-escalation. It's just a number of things that we believe we can do, along with engagement, more community engagement. We're going to get there, and so our police chief is providing tremendous leadership in helping us to get there, and of course the council will continue to work with our city manager and our chief to make sure that these changes, that some of which our community is calling for, that they will not only be talked about, but that they will be implemented.
That's awesome, Mayor. I know you said it's about 2:27. I know you said, did you have a meeting at 2:30?
I have a 3 o'clock I've got to get to at 6.
Oh, 3 o'clock.
Well,
so you can still hang with us a few more minutes.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm good.
Okay, because I was thinking 2:30, and I was like, I said, you know, with all the glitches, I was like, it's 2:27, so I was about to cut it short with you because I didn't want you to be late to your next meeting. But with that, Mayor, like I said, if you could share a personal note to all the diverse listeners around the world about how we will get through this controversy on race in America and the world, could you give us just a little of your own personal intake on this whole epidemic?
I think first and foremost, we got to love and respect each other
without
regard to race and, you know, socioeconomic status. We got to love and respect each other, a respect for all persons. We really have to do a much better job communicating with each other. And one key component of communicating is listening more. We know at the city of DeSoto, we need to listen more. And as I said, my mom used to say, you need to talk less and listen more. You learn a lot. And we want to work together. We can do this if we work together. And,
that's right.
And work together toward making the changes that we want to see in this world. We can do this. The name calling and disrespecting one another, that has got to stop. It has to stop.
Yeah,
and, you know, I know we're human and sometimes things get under our skin, but we've got to learn more discipline and self-control. But I think if we, you know, the two things, the love, respect, one for the other, I think it requires us to study hard And, you know, there's so much more for us to learn and not be afraid of change. Because whether we want change or not, it's going to come. So why don't we work on that change together? And I think doing it together, we're going to see transformative change, and that's what we're looking for in DeSoto.
Yes, just wonderful answers, Mayor. I'm telling you, you are so on point, and oh my God, it's just an honor to have you on my show.
Thank you.
I have chills. I just have chills from your answers. Just smart. And you know, and of course, we also, you know, and as we're dealing with race, but then of course, this pandemic that we've been dealing with, we're still going through this. So the COVID-19 pandemic hit the world with such a force. How did you, as mayor, activate emergency services to keep your community safe?
Well, we're very blessed to have a regional perspective, number one, where we communicate with our cities in the region. We've been very much in touch and in tune with Dallas County, with the governor's office, and even on the national levels. On all of those levels, we've been engaged. And as mayor, one of the first things I did, you know, a lot of prayer for one thing, but I knew that we needed to establish an economic recovery advisory task force. In addition to our chiefs, our fire chief, Jared Delfield, serving as our coordinator for, you know, preparedness, disaster preparedness, and having that regional coordinator working with us, being on the calls with the county, and like I said, and making sure that we are staying on top of what is going on at all levels. I sat down with the city manager and I said, we need a disaster economic recovery advisory task force. And of course, he didn't start. He's still fairly new. He came to us in April. And with everything else going on, you know, coming in new and then COVID hitting, I said, you know, I'd like to see us organize this task force and make sure that our citizens are engaged, but I'd like to see you lead it. And he didn't bat an eye. He said, I would be honored. So just to kind of quickly mention what this task force covers, we have five subcommittees, one addressing our schools, one addressing the businesses, another target population, another medical industries, and then from each one of those four, there's a representative to make up a communications subcommittee so that the entire task force that we're coordinating, the left hand knows what the right hand is doing. And I cannot say enough about how important these subcommittees and overall this task force has been in us moving forward. One of the key things we wanted to do, you know, is we talk about wearing masks and doing all of the other things we can do to not only flatten the curve, but to eradicate this COVID-19 pandemic from our community. But this task force has been phenomenal. We have distributed masks, and we're using the phrase that we want to mask up DeSoto. And so we're stressing those, and I know I could go on and on about what we're doing, but as mayor, that was one of the things that I knew we needed to do, and the council supported it unanimously.
Now I know with Judge Clay Jenkins, and they, you know, he's been very cautious, and he's been on it, and for Dallas County, and about the opening of businesses. And I know at one time they were 25%, then 50. So have the DeSoto businesses opened fully yet? And if so, what percentage have opened?
You know, yes, to be very honest, some of the small businesses, I know we have a small business incubator, and it's called our Grow Desoto Marketplace. And I know that there were a couple of businesses that just didn't did not continue in the marketplace, but they are still continuing their businesses online, out of their homes, home offices, is my understanding. But for the most part, the businesses have opened some on a limited basis, and to the restaurants and those, you know, there's only a percentage that they can, you know, according to our state law, that they can admit into those businesses. So they are open, but on a more limited basis. And, you know, and we know that's very challenging. So we have offered, and I know the selections haven't been made yet, but to help them out, there have been a couple of things our city has done, and that is offer small business grants, $5,000 grants for small businesses. And they could also apply through the Small Business Administration, through some of the programs the county has. If they've already gotten grants, we are not allowing double dipping. We wish we had more to offer, but right now that's the best we could do, along with giving them a break on their water bill, you know, and those, that particular, you know, their water and sewer bills. They're getting a break 1 month on those bills, both for businesses and homeowners. So in terms of the number, the percentage that's open, I would say the majority are, but on a more limited basis. And you can understand that at this point, on a more limited basis.
That's right. And it struck businesses, and like you said, around the world and the country, and it's just been an epidemic. And so, but we pray, you know, that they come back and come back stronger.
Oh, yeah.
You all efforts as mayor and governors are trying to help the business community, help us. And of course, you know, we have to do our part by wearing masks and social distancing. That's our part. We all playing a part. We, like they say, we all are in this together. No one is
segregated. You know,
we all are in this.
And I apologize for cutting you off. I thought I'd be remiss if I did not mention the work of our Chamber of Commerce. The DeSoto Chamber of Commerce has been phenomenal. Yeah. And we are also blessed to have a young man with the Small Business Administration in this community. And, you know, and I could name some others who have done webinars and, you know, providing training and just taking the time to help our small businesses navigate this crisis. So I did want to mention that because they continue to be accessible and available in addition to the city of DeSoto to provide as much support as we possibly can to help them survive, and not only survive, but at some point by working together, we hope that we will have a thriving economy within our local community sooner rather than later.
Well, I tell you, man, yes, and you just gave me just a new idea. I want to reach out to those entities as well. And hopefully I can get them on the show to talk about what they're doing for the great people of DeSoto as well. I know the show is counting down, but I got a couple of more questions, and hopefully we can get to it. If not, but I know that has DeSoto suffered any deaths, and how many cases were contracted in the city to date?
Well, the last report I have, and another one is going to come out sometime today, because we get an update on Tuesdays and Fridays. But the last report I received as of yesterday was 277 cases. You know, the number of people tested positive. And then the number of deaths, I believe, is 5 in the community. The number of deaths. And you know, one is too many. So we're just
that's
heartbroken.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
We pray
that's
for
that's
families.
Where we are.
Yes, well, our heart goes out to those families, and of course, prayers to those to heal and God heal them, you know, soon. And And yes, but and I got my last question, Mayor. But you know, I know it's a prediction, just like they do with the weather. But what is the forecast future for the rest of 2020 and the year 2021 for the great people of DeSoto? We're gonna leave them on a high note.
Okay, number one, we are just looking at everything through a lens of keeping our citizens and you know, those visiting our city safe. And we will continue to do that. That is our number one priority. We're finalizing our five-year strategic plan. That we're working on that, and by October 1, we plan for that, you know, our strategic plan, rather. We are going to be ready to implement. And we are focusing on ensuring that our city is one where everyone thrives. That is still our, you know, a key area of focus. We want to be more strategic and intentional with our economic development. We know that there are things that not only our citizens continue to ask for, but our council. You know, we're just as demanding, if you will, is, and maybe even more, even though some of our citizens may not realize it. But there are so many things we believe, based on the density we have in this community, the income levels, that we deserve to have. And we're going to keep fighting to get them. And I know that COVID has set every community back to some degree, but we are still working very hard so that our citizens will continue to have a wonderful quality of life. And so that is our focus. That is what we will do. And as I said, the only way to get there is through all of us working together, and I'm fully committed to providing the leadership and being the example of working together that I believe our citizens should be able to expect. And so I'm excited and just look forward to continuing the job. I have a little less than two more years now as mayor of this city, and I'm going to keep pushing hard. And when I have served my two terms, because we have term limits, I will still be in this community, if God says the same, working as hard as I ever have been.
Well, I'll tell you, Mayor, I'm just ecstatic, and I'm holding on to every word you said, and you have inspired me so much from the day one I met you until this day, the 23rd of June, and I know great things are coming. We live in a great nation. We live in a great country. You, me, others, we aspire. We can be. Nobody can deny us. They can delay. They can put up barriers. But when you have a desire to succeed, you will. And you are a prime example. And everyone that has came on my show is that to me. I'm just so honored. I'm just in awe. You know, of everyone, because I know the potential that we all have given the opportunity. And like you said earlier, you know, the determination, and from being a child and being raised by your mother and her being an example, you lost your father at an early age, and yet you grieved that, but you internalized and watched your mom work hard, and you took in those ethics. And that's why you are where you are today. And so again, some of our examples are not maybe as great as yours. I learned mine through my parents, but then I had a rocky relationship. It was different, and the world would know my story and hear it. And but I will succeed against the odds, and I really cling to people like you, because I was ignored as a child, you know, with my parents. So I look to you all as examples, and that's why I think I call y'all all the time. I check on y'all all the time, because, you know, I didn't get that as a child. So I cling to you all, and y'all are my examples, and it's just an honor. And I know the show is about to wrap up. Yes, it is. We We got about a few seconds left. Mayor, I want to thank you for coming on, and I know you're coming back in the future.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay,
and
my friend.
You all
well,
wear
thank
your mask.
You.
And let me just say,